time for another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. For garden tools with more power and less noise, use Makita's cordless power garden tools. Power over 200 tools with one battery. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the Big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. A big welcome specifically to our Queensland and New South Wales listeners who are dealing with horrific fires. Good luck to you. Showing a lot of brave heart.
You are. Unfortunately, no one's lost their lives. We're hoping that everything's okay there.
Our guest today, Jane Kennedy, by the way.
Hello.
And Dangerous Dave.
Yes.
Hello. Our guest, Lee Sales, will bring us up to speed.
She's a Queenslander.
She knows what's going on. We'll talk about the fires, the state of affairs in both those great states. So hang about to that. We will mention Danny Frawley shortly as well, Jane Kennedy.
Absolutely.
He is part of the Triple M family, albeit part of the Melbourne chapter, but he's known around the country. It's a sad, sad day. People are genuinely shattered. We'll take a brief look at the life of Danny Frawley. What a dick. That's where I step in.
Right. Now, you were on the weekend because you might have, well, you did ruin a surprise party for Limo.
Oh.
And we're just going to go through that.
At least it was only for Limo. Like, if it hadn't been for someone important.
He's not. I'll tell you, his wife is more unhappy, so you've got to face her at some stage.
All right, let's get to the big one. You have gone bonkers. You are losing it over a TV show which premieres tonight.
Not in Australia.
Don't get us started.
Not in Australia. And
she's
it's a reunion.
You're on a warpath, a good old-fashioned warpath. Well, you're not happy.
I am doing a call-out to every programmer in this country on both free-to-air and Stan, Foxtel.
All right. All platforms.
It's the reunion of the century. What? And I don't know how they did it. Well, obviously,
big
bucks. About
a century ago.
No. It's about the Brady Bunch.
They've got all
the Brady kids together.
Oh.
And it's called A Very Brady Renovation. They bought the house, the Brady house, which was only the exterior. I'm going to go into it.
We're going to pick your brains about that very soon.
And we want to hear about your memories of the Brady Bunch.
We are going to have a look at two girls who are on for Pilot Week.
Two great mates of mine.
It's still going, is it? I thought you killed it.
I didn't kill Pilot Week. And look, two women pop up on Pilot Week. There you go.
Oh, your work here is done.
Isn't that interesting?
Heidi
Arena and Nicola Parry, they're great girls, and they've written and star in a great show.
We'll get to the bottom of that. Is It News is back. One Job is back. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through.
Oh, I nearly lost my breath then.
Yeah, you know, you've gone mad. You really...
I don't think I have.
You have. You've lost your marbles.
No.
You're not sane today.
I know. That's how you feel.
And
about
you are. Is a warpath? Is that the right? You're not happy.
I'm confused, and I think...
disappointed?
Well, having worked in television for a long time, having watched television for a long time, and growing up on the Brady Bunch, my instinct is...
This is your... If you're on a quiz show, this would be your secret topic.
This is my topic.
Right.
And I don't need people to quiz me now or anything. But also, I love it. I've always loved it.
Yeah.
I've been obsessed.
It's a very nerdy part of your...
Well, I'm a proud nerd. I don't mind it. So I watched them because I might have a special VPN.
What's that?
It's not visual.
It's illegal.
Oh, yeah. You can get access to international.
I get access and I watched the first episode.
Oh, you watched it?
I'm all over the shop.
I watched the first episode because I streamed the US channel.
Is it a renovation show or is it a sitcom or what is it?
What is it? Or is it a great reunion? Is it great to see Eve Plum now? Who wants to see Mike Lookinland now?
That's Bobby.
Sam the Butcher.
Alice is dead, and so is Carol and Mike. So it's all the kids. Marsha still looks really good.
That's an opened up with a real bang.
Greg still looks good. You called him actually. His real name is
Barry.
Barry Williams. And you kept calling him Greg.
For an entire interview.
Well,
thanks for joining us, Greg. It's great for you to come in today. I interviewed Florence Henderson once, and she was beautiful. I'm pretty sure she hit on me.
Really?
Well, you know what? She hit on Greg too. You know,
they had a
But she was the
mother. Here's the story.
I know it happens.
Was it in the den?
Of a banging lady. Might have been in Greg's
groovy. All right, park it for a minute. We'll get there. This is more closer to home, a great TV show, local show. Have you been paying attention? By the way, congratulations on your ratings. I think Like, I think it was close to a million last night. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. And, well, it's good.
And
it's
watching because I always love it.
Yeah.
But in particular, I was waiting to see if we addressed the elephant in the room, which is Tommy Gleisner's hashtag Me Too behaviour.
Yeah.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. He is Australia's Harvey Weinstein.
Now we laugh when you say that because
he had a plus size model. He was a taller than your average model,
yes.
And her boobs were right in his eye line, and he got busted.
And Tommy's pretty straight.
Copping an eyeful, is he?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
He is.
Anyway, I was wondering how it would be handled on Have You Been Paying Attention
with
last
great,
night?
With great sensitivity.
Yeah, and I waited. I think it was the start of the second break where Tommy addressed head on this very sensitive issue.
Take a moment to address some scurrilous accusations that surfaced last week regarding myself. I refer to an article in the Daily Mail. No, don't show it. We're not going to... I'm just giving it oxygen. It was suggested... It was suggested that I stared inappropriately at the cleavage of a guest, our international model, Robin Lawley.
Well, Tom, I can defend you because I know that you can't actually see that far.
In seven seasons of hosting this show, I've only ever stared inappropriately at cleavage once, and that was Matt Preston.
That's right. Fair enough, Tom. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to our show. only because it's actually out in the open. For many years, you've been the industry's dirty little secret, right? And I read that article, and there's two, my favourite two bits are when you were described as a pint-sized funny man. And then the other one was something along the lines of Gleisner appeared to look at Robin's cleavage while giving an anecdote about a fishing magazine.
There it is. And you know what? Well done,
Tom.
Everybody.
He's a good sport.
I think where there's smoke.
Oh. I don't think so.
I just don't want this to say that. He's happily married. I just don't want this to go down the Donberg path. You know what I mean? I think Tommy G.
I hope Tom's listening now and having a good old laugh, or he's going to sue you.
Is he litigious?
Yes, very.
Right.
Very. You know him.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about Danny Frawley briefly.
You bet. All thanks to Makita and Makita's cordless power garden range. You can find your authorised dealer at makita.com.au.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
We've got Lee Sales to join us in the second hour. Driving you home around Australia, we go. Kennedy Molloy.
And we'll be talking to Lee about the bushfires, which are ravaging both New South Wales and Queensland. Big shout out to all our listeners in those states. Mm. They're pretty build them tough.
It's just a tough thing for them, yeah.
It is. Hey, speaking of tough, so... We've lost a member of the Triple M family here, Danny Frawley, who's been a much-loved figure from our Melbourne office, and all the AFL states would be well aware of him. And nationally, you're aware of
Fox Footy as well.
Fox Footy, really sad and tragic. People here are gutted, and there's just no... I've never seen more lost people.
They feel like they've lost a brother because that's what he was to many people.
He was such a lovely bloke. And you don't I don't profess. I've met Danny a few times through the Richmond Football Club and around here, so I'm not a best mate. But I know how much he meant to so many people. And what a lovable character he was. You won't find anyone who's got anything to say. You knew him him growing up because he was a country boy, Dave.
I grew up in the same town as Danny's. Well, he was Bungaree, but I grew up in Ballarat at Wenderee. And so the St Kilda Football Club, that was zoned for Ballarat. Although the juniors came through Ballarat.
He was captain of the Saints.
St Kilda, And I remember, so Tony Lockett, who was a champion footballer for St Kilda, I was best mates with his brother. We went to school together. We used to hang out. So I'd sort of through Neil Lockett, I'd sort of see Tony and his friends around at his place in Wenderee with his mum, who still lives in the same house.
Yep.
And I remember his 18th birthday party where Spud was there. So I was a lot younger than, I was 10 years younger than Spud. Yeah. But Trevor Barker was there as well. So
that's royalty. That's St Kilda royalty. Kid, these are the best
Tony
players.
Jewell was there that night as well at his 18th birthday.
Played the game.
And just as you say, Mick, an absolute gentleman. He would light up a room, and a typical country kid. Like, he was just, talk to anybody.
So a lot of people here can't do their jobs at the moment, which I fully understand. And I want to acknowledge Fox Sports, who I watched the footy channel last night, and I thought they did a a cracking job soldiering on and addressing it, because some of them, as you can imagine, are distraught. He was, you know, such
a big part.
He's
currently on air, you know, at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, it's a really sad, terrible thing. It's a shocking loss, and everyone's clearly moved by it.
Mm. And also we are sending out heartfelt condolences to his wife Anita and three beautiful daughters.
Gorgeous. Yep.
The loves of his life. Yeah. We've got a little package. We'll just play you a little snippet of the last few days and, of course, Danny Fawley.
We start with tragic news tonight with the death of St Kilda legend Danny Frawley.
Incredibly sad day for the football world, really, because Danny, obviously a legend of a player here and coach Richmond and in the media. So every aspect of this industry, Danny has touched. So I think everyone would be equally sad.
He was one of those larger-than-life figures. He filled a room. He wore his heart on his sleeve.
The thing for me about Spud is whenever you were in his company, he made you feel good. And if you were feeling down, he could put a smile on your face. He just had this great ability to make everyone around him laugh. An incredible, incredible person he was to be around.
He will be remembered as that knockabout country kid.
Frawley's mantra was to put the fun into football, all the while battling his own demons away from the spotlight.
The advice I give to everyone out there is it's not like a broken arm where you put your hand in plaster, the doctor goes, right, that'll be in plaster for 4 weeks, then you can do some light weights, then you can do some range of movement, and then you'll be able to play again. Mental health is all different, and that's where it's pretty difficult. But it's great that people come up, but the main advice I'd say is speak to someone close to you and go and see a doctor. It's as simple as that.
I was breathless when I found out about Trevor Barker. But for Spud, this was such a shock. And it shocked not only our family, but the St Kilda family and the footy world.
There it is. Good job, Danny Frawley, and well played, mate.
You bet.
All the best.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy. You're listening to Kennedy Molloy.
Time for...
What a dick.
Who's made a dick of themselves, Jane?
You are.
I beg your pardon.
Yes.
How dare you?
Have a listen to this.
What are you talking
this
about?
This is Limo told a story on Melbourne Triple M's Hot Breakfast Show. Have a listen.
Some friends threw a surprise birthday party for me. I was working yesterday from midday till 2. Mm-hmm. Then it was due to start at 3. 8 people had kept this a secret. Phone beeps at about midday. Message from Mick Molloy.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I can't make it today, mate.
Oh, no.
I'm reading this message going, what's going on here? And then in the meantime, unbeknownst to me, Adam Rosenbach has called Mick and said, mate, it's a surprise party. Delete the message. Now, you know how good Molloy is with technology. Apparently he's fumbled with his phone for 10 minutes, rung Rosie back and said, how do you delete messages on WhatsApp?
No.
He ended up getting one of the boys to delete the message off his phone.
How did your wife, Kel, go to that? Because from experience, if someone's gone to the pains of organising a surprise party and gets blown up by one of your mates, doesn't get well received.
She wasn't over the moon.
What are you doing? Now, how long before were you told?
I was told months ago. In fact, it's
that
hard.
It was a surprise.
Yes, but it's hard to remember
the
actual.
Hard to surprise.
Well, you know what? I'm not even sure I was told it was a surprise.
I'm sure you were.
I believe the fault lies with Adam Rosenberg.
Well, we've got Adam on the line now.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. So you might have to just apologise to him for that.
This is going very well.
Hey, Rosie.
Hey, Jane. How you going?
Yeah. You're idiot, mate. Here.
Rosie, you need
were
to
you the one? Away. Were you the one that first gave him the heads up that there was a surprise dinner for Limo coming up?
Yes, I did, Jane, and I made a point of saying surprise because it was a surprise.
Of course you did.
I'm going to mention it was a surprise.
Yeah, right. That's not my memory. My memory of it was there was a small gathering and there's a few people we didn't want to know who is. I think you're keeping it on the lowdown.
No.
But to my mind... Mate, so what happened? This is what happened. So I then sent through a very warm message.
It was a lovely message.
It was a lovely message saying, I can't make it. By the way, have a great surprise party.
But you didn't say surprise.
Well,
have a great event. And Limo's read it, has he, and gone, what's this?
Oh. I would get off in a court of law. I would get off in a court of law under cross-examination. I would get off because you can't prove that
Let's hear from the prosecutor, please.
And you know what Mick does as well, Jane, is he throws the boys in there as well. jail. So it's get out of jail free card. Well, I'm with the boys. I can't make this surprise party. But now, so I'll ruin it for everyone else.
That's not a problem that he had. He was with the boys.
I sent Limo a photo of the boys.
That's not the problem. Yeah. And I understand if he can't go. It's his. It, the part of his brain that seemed to not register, don't blow it for everybody else, and especially Limo.
Jeez.
Yeah? And he wasn't even drinking when I told him.
Yeah, I know. Now, here's the other fascinating thing.
What?
Rosie, did you say delete the message? But it is, you can't take messages back after they go out when you text them.
You can. On WhatsApp, you can.
You can on WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp, you can.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, it was WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I said delete it, and then I was like, sitting there going, well, there's going to be a follow-up call here because I understand that he won't have any clue as to how to do that. And it's like, how do you delete?
Correct.
I did call him back, how do you delete? And guess who did it?
Who?
My boys.
Your seven-year-old sons.
My seven-year-old sons
deleted.
Well, of course,
that makes utter sense.
So while we're there, I got them to delete a few of my dick pics, which I couldn't get
I beg your pardon. You did not. You did not. Hey, Rosie, did you go to the event? Was it good?
I did go to the event.
It was Limo surprised.
I tell you who was surprised. Some of the people in the WhatsApp group who weren't invited.
Oh, no. So we double dick you. Mate.
What a dick.
Oh, that's shocking.
I have destroyed his party. So now everyone at the party is upset with me. Everyone who didn't get invited to the party is upset with me. You're upset with me for organising it.
And we're still, Limo's wife Kelly is super upset.
As Kelly.
No.
Yeah, so no one's happy. We were actually glad you weren't there in the end.
Oh, all right, well,
that's fair enough, Rosie. Thank you.
Just remember, I wouldn't mind a surprise party at some stage.
Oh,
Rosie,
my God.
If you're going to make one.
Rosie.
No, we've had a couple without you. They're great.
Get
well
stuffed,
done.
Rosie.
Thanks, Adam.
Have you ever, it's a good call. Yeah. This is, of
have
course,
you ever
have you
ruined
a
surprise?
Have you, right. You know, can I, I'll tell you when we get back.
Yeah, you bet. 1-3-3-5-3. Get involved. You're listening to Kennedy Molloy.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Molloy.
I'm a bit disappointed in the... You guys, by the way, your attitude doesn't disappoint me. It doesn't surprise me.
That you're a dick. Thank you, Dave.
It was an innocent mistake. I've ruined a surprise party.
No, you're just not thinking.
I can't be across everything.
Yes, you can.
Do you know what? We're taking calls. 1-3-3-5-3. You know one of the great ruined surprises, and I bet everyone will have one of these. You know the footy results?
Oh.
No one tell me the footy results. No one tell me the footy results. Someone walks in and goes, how's those times? But I reckon the best one ever I ever saw was Bob Franklin, a comedian, great bloke, loves his soccer, World Cup, England. We're doing night shoots on a film called Bad Eggs in the middle of Melbourne, and we're filming in Carlton.
Yep.
And we're doing night shoots. Now, so you think Carlton is a hardcore Italian soccer
epicenter.
We're right in the middle of it. We're doing night shoots. The game is on. He has said, he has put everyone under house arrest. No one's allowed to know the results. Mm-hmm. He wants to go home and watch England. It gets to 3 a.m. and no one's done it. I'm going, he's going to get away with this.
Yeah.
We pull out the car. We get onto Lygon Street. And as we're at the lights, a car with five blokes pulls up, waving the English flag. England! It's 4 a.m.
Yeah, there's
he's
a giveaway.
Really home.
Giveaway.
Almost got away
can't
with
do it. Matt,
that's funny.
Matt, have you ruined anything for anybody?
Unfortunately, yes, I have.
Oh, man.
One of my good mates, her old man's 50th, and I said to him, oh, yeah, sorry, can't come to your surprise birthday on the weekend.
Oh.
He said,
that'll do it.
Oh, geez, Louise, mate. Well, that's a good effort.
Good.
What was the fallout? You go okay?
I haven't really spoken since.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no,
Matt. Wow. People got
give him a prize, Dave.
Tickets to go see James Rain, the boys light up to it.
Time and distance. Q is everything, Matt.
Yes, good stuff. Yeah. Adam's on the line. Adam, what happened to you, mate?
My father-in-law ruined the proposal, mate, to the wife.
What?
Oh, wow.
The wife? Oh, so, no.
I've gone up to ask him if I could marry his daughter, and he's given me the blessing. Yep, it's all good. So I've gone home, and then she's come in the front door, and they've come in the back door. Congratulations.
No!
She's looked at me, looked at them, and I'm like, I haven't done it yet.
Oh,
so, yeah.
That's monumental.
But you're still together?
Yeah, mate, it was good for me. I didn't have to get down on my knee.
Oh, mate, he's actually got you out of a bit of a situation there. Oh, are we all good?
I'm hesitant to play what a dick, but never mind. No, good for you, Adam. That's good.
Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What happened? Have you got a surprise fail?
Yes, I ruined my own 40th birthday party.
How did you do that, Marie?
Well, I got invited for dinner, and unbeknownst to me, they were organising a party, and I turned up about an hour and a half earlier, and they went...
What a dick.
The kids went, oh, no, Annie Marie's here, and then I greeted everyone at the gate with surprise.
Oh, why were you an hour and a half early? That's what parents usually do when they turn up to people's houses.
I was a parent. I had a two-year-old, and I was trying to put him down to early for bed. Before dinner, and yeah.
All right. Yep, all right. Well, there's a lesson.
I'd like to know anyone who's given away a pregnancy. That'd be a big one, wouldn't it? If you went, oh, no, I, congratulations.
Oh, and someone hadn't been told yet.
Mum.
Yeah. Or sister or something like that.
Wasn't there rumours around town once that you were pregnant?
Yeah, I was. It was actually 2000. I was at the Sydney Olympics, and I was just found out I was pregnant up there. I was probably about 9 weeks pregnant, but we hadn't told anybody because there's generally a 12-week rule.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm out and about, and unusually, I'm not drinking.
Right.
And everybody seems to notice, including the press. And they wrote, they said, rumours abound that Jane Kennedy's seen not with the usual glass in her hand.
And I
was horrified. My parents said, are you pregnant? I went, don't be stupid. And they said, oh,
we've read
it in the paper. And then three weeks later, when I got the
Dave, have you ruined it for anyone?
Similar to the story we had before, when I was living in Shepparton, so this is back in the 90s, the days of answering machines, you know, because you didn't have voicemail or stuff on your phone.
Yeah.
And so I'd organised with the jewellers to organise the engagement ring, and they left a message on our answering machine saying, oh, Mr. Williams, just to let you know, the ring's ready to be picked up. All good to go.
Liz heard it.
I'm a dick myself, and the jewellers.
Hey, we have got a pregnancy one.
Oh, yeah?
That is just quickly,
shocking from the jeweller. They should know.
A jeweller should know.
An engagement ring?
Most rings are going to be incognito.
Exactly. That's outrageous. Joanne does have a pregnancy story that's got a twist. Hello, Joanne.
Hello, how are you?
How did you find out your sister was pregnant?
The lollipop lady.
What a dick.
She's in the inner circle, is she?
My sister's older kids have told her, and we've come along the crossing afterwards, and she told us.
Oh, that's awesome. By the way, your sister's pregnant.
Exactly.
Oh, that's good. Give Joanne a prize.
Yeah. Tickets to go see James Rain as well. The boys light up to her.
We're going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and bat on with this.
Give us your ruining surprise.
Have you had a surprise ruined or ruined one? This is fun.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, who apparently is a...
What a dick.
Yeah.
Well, it all started because... Mick did something so really bad. He ruined a friend of ours' surprise.
I allegedly, and I'm
not allegedly.
That case is in Christmas court.
It's a fact. Proceeding. A fact. Mm. And it's very embarrassing.
Gave away a surprise party.
Yeah. Yeah. We're asking what you've done.
Because I wasn't acquainted with the facts and was not told it was a surprise
party. Oh, my God.
Party.
Are you trying to defend yourself?
Who would go to that
Stop.
Much trouble for limo? And then I put it on
a WhatsApp,
on an app.
And not everybody was invited on the WhatsApp. So a win-win all round.
So, on the whole, I'm pretty happy with my performance.
Good job.
But luckily my own boys deleted the message.
Yeah.
A little bit too late.
A little bit too late. Have you ever ruined someone's surprise?
We've got good callers here. Brenton.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, do you know someone who ruined a really good surprise?
Yeah, me and my ex were expecting, and the day of my son was born, we didn't know what we were having the whole 9 months, and then the doctor said on the last scan, shut your eyes because you don't want to know what it is. Yeah. But then he said to the nurse, oh, can you see the thing between his legs?
What a dick.
Wow.
A couple hours before she gave birth.
That is so bad. What an idiot. I can't stand that, doctor.
Did the doctor use the phrase, hung like a donkey?
No comment.
Yeah. Appropriately no comment. Thank you, Brenton.
Well, there you go.
Hey, let's go to Michael.
Do you know what happened to me? Mm-hmm. I didn't know when I...
Hang on.
I wasn't there for most of the tests, and eventually I was talked into going to an ultrasound.
This is for your twin boys.
For my boys. So I go to an ultrasound. I go, do you want to come in? I go, no, wait out of here. Just bring me the ultrasound. And anyway, their mum and the doctor come in and go, oh, we've got you a room. And I said, well, I don't need a room. Just show me. I want a room. What? Just show me. So no, we've got your room. I go in and they show it to me. I go, why have they taken it twice?
Oh
my God.
No.
That's when it hit you.
The penny dropped.
Oh my God.
Holy moly.
There's a surprise you could have ruined for me.
Yeah. And you'd never take it back. I thought there was two dirty marks on the screen when I saw my twins.
Really?
I went, there's a dirty mark on this and I'm trying to lick it and then go on the screen. She goes, no, that's twins. Congratulations. Are these your first? No, I've got 3 and a 3.
I just want to say where the ultrasound was revealed you have twins is the quietest moment of car you will ever experience. Wowie. All right. Michael, what was the surprise that was ruined?
Yeah, hello, guys. My surprise was I was going to take my wife over to England 10 years ago.
That's and a nice thing to do for your
lovely.
Surprise. Mate, I'd been planning it for 6 months.
Yeah.
I was on a Facebook call with my wife's cousin over there. My 7-year-old was looking over my shoulder. When she got home, he's done the whole, oh, Mum, when do you go over to England?
Oh, no.
Oh, your son clocked it. And really,
your son's dropped you in a spoiler.
Well, you've got to be threatening there and say he won't get any Christmas presents if he tells his
Michael, mother. Can I just say this? As a father of 2 7-year-old boys, oh, they talk.
Oh, yeah.
They are dirty rotten. They will give you up every time.
No mercy there,
Michael.
Do you
know what Dad did? Dad woke me up with his foot. Okay, I did. But when you say it like that.
But lovingly.
I sound like a... You know, he's on the bottom bunk, so you put your foot in his chest and you go,
fun.
Mate, I'm with you all the way.
But it doesn't sound great.
Not when a 7-year-old tells it. Let's go to Tracy.
Dad never goes to bed, Mum. He just sleeps on the couch all the time.
Well, if Mum listened to the radio show, she'd hear that. You're up all night watching the cricket. Hello.
Dad showed us Jackass. Shut
up. Hi, Trace. Did you ruin your own surprise?
Yeah, but it wasn't my fault, so...
what happened?
My then-boyfriend, now husband, went away for the weekend and I put his jacket on ready to go out with one of my friends, put my hand in the pocket and thought I had money and went, oh, beauty money, and I dropped it on the ground as soon as I saw it. It was a note with everything that was happening for me. It was a trip to Broome. It had Broome, the amount... It had my cousin's name and the dates, and so he was actually sending me up to Broome to visit.
Okay, so did you pretend you didn't know, and did you do the perfect lying act?
Well, I tried, but no, for some reason I couldn't. I tried to.
What a dick.
Just playing devil's advocate here, are you sure that trip was for you and not one of his other girlfriends?
No, it was, because then I did go and I went, my cousin turned up at the airport.
That's really good. Yes, of course.
This
that's
is
right.
For this, you,
yes, our
Tracy.
Trip
yes.
to Broome.
That's
that
I have exclusively.
Hey, are you married now?
Yes,
he is,
you should go through his pockets all the time. Men love it.
I beg your pardon.
Yes. Give it another go. So it's
We've got one last call. Yeah, Tracy,
we've got a prize pack coming your way. Tracy, thank you.
One more call.
I wore your jacket. See, that's a sign of affection when I wore your Triple M jacket.
You wore my jacket to the strippers.
Oh,
and
right.
put my jacket on a very young stripper with fake hair. And there was blonde
this story
acrylic
doesn't
hair all on my jacket.
It's just tuning in now.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Yeah, of course.
Sure,
are we done? Oh, no,
we've got
Renee.
One more. Renee. I want Renee. Hello, yep. Renee.
Hi, how are you?
Tell us your story.
Well, I was pregnant and I went round to tell my friend and I said to her, because we live in a little town and everyone knows everyone, yes. and I just said to her, I'm pregnant, please don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
You know, we want to tell his family.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes after I left, she messaged everyone on a phone, including myself.
What a dick.
Oh, I just messaged you back. Yes, I know.
That's awesome.
Prize, David.
Oh, yeah, and another prize pack coming your way. Thanks for listening to Hobart as well.
Ruined surprises.
Right?
We've paid it.
Yeah, we're done well.
Calling from Tassie.
Yes.
The father of Charles, not the real dangerous Dave, is it, from Hobart?
No.
Who's the better dangerous Dave, Renee? It's me, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's correct answer.
Of course.
Oh, very nice.
Stand by. We've got a talk with Heidi Arena and Nicola Parr coming up next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Our next two guests, Heidi Arena and Nicola Parry, first met working on the TV show Thank God You're Here.
She recently put up a sign outside the Year 12 Common Room. Now, what did it say, Mrs. Simpson?
It said, no fat girls allowed.
They've chalked up a stack of Australian stage and TV roles between them and have now teamed up to write, produce and star in Part-Time Private Eyes, part of Channel 10's Pilot Week.
We could private investigate together.
It's just like Thelma Louise. One old one, one hot one.
A show about mums who solve crime in school hours.
Ready for stalking duties.
I'm not wearing a disguise.
You have to wear a disguise. I'm wearing a disguise. I am wearing active wear. Nobody's even going to look at me twice.
Please welcome to the show, Heidi Arena and Nicola Parry.
Oh, hello girls. great to have you in here.
Memory lane.
It is exciting, and this is part of Channel 10 Pilot Week, which I have been behind
You've
all
tried to kill
the way.
This dead.
I have
right,
not.
Seriously?
No.
You're lucky to be here,
I've
girls.
Been incredibly supportive of Pilot Week and what it does, and it's very brave of Channel 10 to do things like that. And it's excellent because this is a show with two women in it.
Yes.
First of all, I go back at, well, quite a long way with these
yes,
girls,
you do.
Mick.
Oh, yeah.
These girls met on the set of the show Thank God You're Here.
Love it.
This is right. It was probably about 15 years ago now, Heidi.
Well, being 24, that's weird. I don't understand it.
straight away, I have to say, you have to be talented because you have to. There's just no way of limping into that show. That has been thrown
no
in at the deep end.
Well, these girls
you
were part of,
feet,
yeah, with Ed Cavalier
so
as well.
That's a tough school.
Part of the core cast. It was really tricky.
Really was. It was wonderful.
And it was brilliant.
That's great to hear.
Too frightened to do it.
All the interviews we've done about our pilot, it's always been about Thank God You're Here.
Oh, has it?
We've talked more about Thank God You're Here.
Well, let's take a twist and let's get out of that. You've remained friends ever since, and it's really hard to. Everybody says, "Oh, why don't you write a show for? If women want more shows, more women should write shows for women." Blah blah.
Yes.
Well, you have. You've done
we
it.
Have.
Explain what the show is about.
Well, it's about two school mums.
I'm presuming it's funny.
It's hilarious.
It's a drama. Comedy. It's a comedy, yeah.
That's right. It is a
two
comedy.
Mums
it's about
at primary
two
school.
Mums, primary school. They're looking for work between 9 and 3 because they...
we actually came up with the idea because they're going, this is rubbish trying to do a job and earn money between 9 and 3. How can we earn big, fast, fat, dirty cash between 9 and 3? That's a serious conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you've
but
got
be a private detective.
Yeah, sure.
With no qualifications. Thank you very much. Give us the money.
Well, that's what we thought. We thought we've got acting skills. Maybe we could be private detectives. And then Wonderful. That's how the show was born.
And what I've like seen it. Just from a little bit, I like the idea. There seems to be a lot of outside entertainment themes. So, you know, I wanted to be a forensic scientist when I grew up. Sure. No, I wanted to be an actress in a TV show about being a detective.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you've picked up some of those people.
Give us some standard detective work that your
that
school mums might be
well,
into.
Well, I mean, their first case is about a cheating husband. So
oh, well, that was my life at primary school.
Having a cheating husband?
No, it was. It was.
Who, by the way, is on away on a golf trip as we speak.
Oh, God. So
I'm trying to forget about
carefully.
That. No, people used to say to me, you should write a show about our school because there was so much cheating and threesomes and things going on. So this is relevant everywhere,
listen,
I presume.
The schoolyard is rich with material.
Wow. And you get that 5 minutes between pick up and drop, and you hear everybody's lives inside. Laundry comes out within 3 minutes flat.
There's no small talk. It's straight to the big stuff.
Now, have you based this on anybody you know, and do you have to sort of change names to protect your friendships with people?
Mm. I call her Nick Paz now after Nicola Parr. I can't use a real name. I
really?
Know too much.
I think certainly the world of it, the world of drop off and pick up is our life, isn't it, Heidi? But no.
Jane's done it in her
pajamas.
Is there any of that action? Is it, do we see
there's
that?
Always, there's always line. Opportunity. Yeah. Channel 10 next episode. Pajamas.
And Ugg boots. But you have to choose a long puffer.
Didn't a guy at your
school... a puffer is wonderful.
And a boot.
Didn't a guy at your school do it in his surgical gown?
Yes.
Am I allowed to tell this story?
Oh,
no.
Not
I want to
but
know
he does,
more.
Yeah. Scrubs.
Hello, girls.
All right. This won't
This is right. There's so many characters.
We're excited about this. Now, have you only filmed the pilot or have you done other episodes?
We've filmed the pilot, but we've had to write the pilot like we were making a series.
Okay, so this is the big thing. Everybody, you must watch this show tonight. Because these girls need to get it in a series. They need to get the thumbs up from Channel 10. Mm. Beverly McGarvey, we need thumbs up from her.
See? We love you, Bev.
Jane, come on, Bev. Like, seriously, St. Jane. There we
are. Yeah, no, Bev's going to love it. And I have great faith in
this. Do you think, where we're at now, there are too many women on television?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought
that. Do you think it's like plague proportion?
Yeah, the
mind
is
to me,
absolutely flooded.
He's kind of right, you know, and I just think, you know, sometimes.
It sounds like fun. Can I be in it? I want to be in it. Can I have a little.
Jane's first. She said, Babe, she went straight to the top.
Could I be a cheating husband? I'll be a cheating husband.
Come on, you dirty dog. Off we go. Sure.
Or the janitor, perhaps?
The janitor.
Yeah. Okay, you're typecasting me again. He's a sleazy janitor with a criminal record.
Wearing his pyjamas and a scalpel from his scrubs.
Who's not supposed to be within 500 yards of that particular school.
Girls, we're so excited for you. It's called Part-Time Private Eyes. I've seen the trailer. It looks so funny. These girls are
what
really
time is it? What
top-notch
time is it
actors and writers, so tune in.
We're going to call it Part-Time Privates, but then we kept on Googling really bad things, so we have to change it to Part-Time Private and put the eyes on it.
It could be a good idea in the end,
you
never know.
Good
Congratulations,
luck.
Girls. Thank you. Thanks for being on Kennedy Malloy.
8:30 tonight on 10. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
This is going to be a behemoth of an hour. Jane's gone bonkers today. You can't get any sense out of her. Nope. Totally preoccupied by something about the
Brady
Bunch.
By an event that's happened, a global event. Oh,
global.
Yes, global event. It's a very Brady reunion.
Jeez Louise.
It is a renovation job of the Brady Bunch of an unbelievable scale, and we're not getting the show screen in Australia, people. This is of vital importance to the country.
What are we, a third world country?
What's going on?
Did I miss a meeting? We'll get to the bottom of that.
We will.
Hey, we're going to also, well, we might get some callers to weigh in on
well, I think
well.
If you've got any great memories of the Brady Bunch, I'm going to explain what the show is. But right. What's your favourite memories of the house in particular?
If we get time, I am going to open up You've Got One Job and Is It News? Two stories that need to be tackled on this program. Right. But let's start at the top with this woman.
Last time Lee Sales was in, we were pondering a future with driverless cars.
I guess it would help in that you're going to remove some of the human error and the things that slow down human beings when they're driving. So, for example, having a sticky beak when somebody's on the side of the road.
Surely not. That's a time-honoured classic. My car will be programmed to see to curb crawl, to slow down when there's a beautiful woman on the sidewalk.
Please welcome back 7:30's Lee Sales.
We ask the hard questions. We get the big ticket items out of the way early. How are you, Lee?
Yeah, good. How are you guys?
Good to see you. And congratulations are in order, I believe.
A big day for you today.
Has your medal arrived?
Yes!
All rise for Lee Sales. Dame Lee Sales. Is that what we said? Was it a lady? What do you want to be?
Oh, for you guys, just ma'am. We'll do.
I thought Duchess.
Do you know the coolest thing today? I wasn't sure what to expect. I thought it might be a bit boring, but the best thing was hearing the people who got the bravery awards.
Yeah. Oh, like stuff they did that was super brave.
Oh, my God. This guy, when he walked in and we're all sort of sitting there, he's a pretty rough-looking guy. He had neck tats, shaved head, and I thought, I wonder what he's here for. He was getting a bravery award.
Yes.
He was in his car. He saw a fire on the side of the road and it could see a bit of car protruding. Pulled over. A car's had an accident. It's on its side. He's tried to get the driver out. Can't. Called 000. He's run up to the road, flagged down another car, stopped that person, got them to help him get the car off its side. They've tried to break in. The car's on fire. The engine's on fire. They've tried to break in. They can't get the doors open. They get the boot open. They try to get into the car via the boot. Then the other guy says, the car's going to blow up because it's catching more and more on fire. Yeah. We got to go. This original guy who was there today, no, he breaks the back window. He gets into the car, tries to get the driver out, catching more on fire all the time. Eventually it gets too hot and he has to get out and then the whole car catches fire and unfortunately they couldn't get the driver out. Mm-hmm. But how about going above and beyond? And this guy, you should have heard the round of applause. Everyone was just blown away. And his family was there. His littlest boy was in a tux. And they all came running up. The kids were so proud of him. I nearly bawled. It was unbelievable.
I have to say, that's probably what I would have done. it's terrific and well deflected. You get your medal, apart from everything you do for the wider community, but basically for grilling PMs and putting them under the spot. And congratulations on your interview with ScoMo last night, which was great on two fronts.
I thought,
in regards to this card, this... what are we calling it?
Welfare card.
And I think he needed to be addressed on that. And of course, the stupidity of the surplus and their persevering with it. I'm going to play, if you don't mind, Lee, I want to play a bit, if you can listen to yourself for a minute, of you in full flight, top form, putting ScoMo under the pump in regards to his fiscal policy.
Why are you intent on a fiscal policy that undercuts the country's monetary policy?
Well, I think that's an absurd proposition, Lee. Fiscal policy and monetary policy are actually pulling in the right direction.
They're Reserve pulling in Bank... opposite directions, aren't they?
No, Lee, that's not how it works. And the Governor of Reserve Bank is not calling on the government to not have a surplus. That's a ridiculous suggestion. But he's not suggesting that at all.
He wants people to spend money. Having a surplus means, by its nature, you're spending less money.
No, what it means, Lee, is that we're ensuring that we're paying down debt that has been built up from excessive spending in previous years.
But the question is it the time to do that? Is it the right time for the economy to do that?
Well, of course it's the right time to reduce the debts. Reduce spending growth down to 1.9%, the lowest level of spending. I haven't finished yet.
No, but I want to pick you up as we go, because you talked about getting spending under control. Labor's spending during its term was on average just under 25% of GDP. Yours is just over 25%.
No, spending
GDP.
Grows.
I'm talking about spending overall as a percentage of GDP.
And our spending growth falls below 25% of GDP. Our spending growth...
There it is. You make a great point, Leo. In a contracting economy, when you would have thought to kind of turbocharge it... is this just stubbornness on behalf of an election promise that he said he would deliver a surplus?
I think there is a thing with politicians where they don't like to break a promise, and so they really want to deliver a surplus. And because Australia hasn't had a surplus for a long time, of course you want to be the government to do that. And also...
At what cost, though?
Yeah, it's that's
completely
right. That's
obvious. I'm
question.
A dumb guy, and to me, you can see...
But there'll always be another agenda behind it, is what the... Suspicion
well, and the,
is.
Part of the thing is that the Reserve Bank governor has made some remarks and in a few speeches indicated that he's pretty worried about the economy, and people just aren't spending a lot of money at the moment, because most households, you have a high debt because you have a big mortgage, expenses are really huge, you know, electricity and all gas and everything costs a lot of money, but everyone's wages haven't been going up for the past few years. So everyone's finding it sort of harder to make ends meet. And so the Reserve Bank wants people to spend money because they're worried the economy is going to tank. So that's why they keep cutting interest rates, to try to put more money in people's pockets. People aren't spending that money because they're using it to pay their bills, their mortgage and stuff. So so he wants the government to sort of spend more money. But if you're paying off a surplus, obviously, just because of its nature, you're not spending money.
You're not doing it. Hey, well done. And can you never, ever interview me if I get into any trouble? I will dodge you religiously. Lee Sales wants to interview. No, not today.
I'm going to ring you, Lee, if and when it happens.
Janie will tell me where you are, Mick. And I'll just stop you.
Correct.
That's an even better look, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, one time before the end of the year when I do something terrible around the office,
again.
I don't know, you can come down here and grill me.
I will.
Lee, I'm sure.
I don't know, Lee. I can't remember, Lee.
Well, head to a song now. Will you stick around for us? We've got more to chat with you about.
Lee Sales. The Duchess.
Yes, AM is with us right now. More with Lee right after this.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
A Queensland bushfire emergency.
Black smoke billowing out across the Sunshine Coast.
The night sky turned an ominous orange.
12 properties destroyed at Bereegian Beach.
A pretty terrifying morning for many people here, not knowing what the outcome is for their home.
Every single thing I own is in that place. I managed to get out with a small bag of some clothes.
We had what we stood up in, the animals and our tablets. That was it.
Residents in Ballandine on the Queensland New South Wales border and also in O'Reilly in the Lamington National Park were told to leave immediately last night.
What we're seeing is a normal fire season on top of extremes in terms of the underlying soil moisture and incredibly low humidities for this time of the year in Queensland.
But it's a continued message that everyone needs to stay alert. This is the beginning of a fire season, nowhere near the end of it.
Greetings to all our New South Wales and Queensland listeners. Hope you're doing okay.
Hope you're safe.
Hello, Lee Sales, of course, who's talking with us, a Queensland girl and native. What are you making of what's going on in the state of Queensland?
I think Queenslanders would be pretty shocked because Perigian, Binnaburra, O'Reilly's and Lamington National Park, they're all places that, you know, a lot of people would have gone to the beach or holidays in those sort of places. And they're not really places, like my mother's staying with me down from Queensland at the moment. She was reading the news this morning. She said, Perigian's on fire. And I went, Perigian?
Yes, it's unusual that it would be.
Yeah.
It just seems like, a holiday place.
I thought she must have had it wrong, because it's also, you know, it's sort of near it's the beach. Yeah. So it seems really hard to
get
your head around.
They've got the update not long ago. They've got the jumbo water bombers there.
Yeah, the 737s are going over and dropping water. So
they're amazing, though, aren't they?
I think the Premier as well, Anastasia Palaszczuk's in Europe, but she's cutting it short to come home. Fingers crossed they're getting on top of it. We had someone on the show last night who said something really worth remembering, which is all stuff can be replaced. Any stuff can be replaced. Yep. You can replant your garden. You can do all that. You cannot replace a life. So just be really careful with how you approach things.
Indeed. Now, I'm fascinated by your bravery stories. Was there another one from the award ceremony? Okay. Was, I love hearing this stuff.
This is after you received your Order of Australia Medal today. And where was it? Was it at...
Is that Government House in New South Wales? Yep. There was a great one also with a guy who... See, the thing that's moving about these stories is people like me, we choose to do what we do and we get paid for it. These people are just living their normal life and something random and horrible unfolds in front of them, and it's how you react when you're tested like that. This bloke was at the beach surfing. A father and two kids got into trouble in the surf. And so he went, he rescued the kids one after the other, and then he was completely exhausted, but he went back out to try to get the father. Like, imagine how exhausted you are after rescuing two kids.
Crikey.
Gone back out there to get the father. He's got the father onto a surfboard and then brought him in, but the father died. Yeah. But he saved the two kids. Like, that's amazing.
Terrific effort.
Lee, just when you say that.
There's not enough focus on this aspect. Papers are full of terrible stories from cover to cover.
Mm.
But you learn a lot about people, as you say, when they're under pressure. Mm. And up in Queensland and New South Wales, when you're in these conditions right now, you'll learn a lot about people and what they're made of.
I think it's a great story.
Lee, you wrote about this, really, in your book.
Yeah, I did. And it's, you know, it's that thing that sometimes we get sort of with the news saturated, as you say, Mick, with all horrible stuff. But something like today reminds you, geez, there's a lot of good people out there. Because not only was it the people who were confronted with the random moments, but people that had come in from country towns and they were getting recognised for 45 years that they've delivered the Meals on Wheels and they've done all of the community things. Like, just awesome and just fantastic for them to get a public acknowledgement in front of everybody. Really, really nice.
Well, mention me at the next one. I've done. Hey, who's on your show tonight? Yep. What's on tonight?
So we're having a bit of a look at... there was a case last week where a guy was released on parole, Michael Guider, who was convicted for manslaughter of Samantha Knight and a string of child sex offences. We're just having a look at how does the system work that someone like that is out?
Can I mention this fact involving that case? And I'm not across this legally, but I don't understand how you can find a man guilty of murdering a young girl and then let him out before he's told you where her body is. If she's guilty of the crime, shouldn't that be part of the process to go?
The release process.
Here's how it works.
For the family,
Am I just being silly?
Well, and there have been multiple, I was reading up on it today, there have been multiple places where he said, oh, I buried the body here and then I did this, and the story's changed multiple times. But the interesting thing too is that he was already in jail when he was convicted of her death. And so instead of him serving out the sentences for the child sex crimes, which were the first series of things, and then Samantha Knight's death, it was all served at the same time, what they call concurrent.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's an interesting question too. Why weren't they consecutive?
Also too, correct me again if I'm wrong, but sex offenders and just especially involving pedophiles, there's a pretty well... it's not a great case of rehabilitation, is it? On track record?
No, and also in the story tonight it says on some of the programs they use the evidence is out whether it actually prevents reoffending. This guy's under extremely strict supervision. He has to take these anti-libido drugs to control his sexual urges and so forth. But Samantha Knight's mother, who's in the story, says, well, if the guy requires that much supervision, wouldn't it be easier for everyone?
Out?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's, again, we just talked about the light and the dark, and there we are down the other end of the pool. That sounds like we need to be informed about this and our legal system and how we can affect some change. Good on you again,
and
doing all the heavy lifting for everyone.
7:30 tonight.
Duchess.
Good on you, Lee.
What are we going with?
We leave a little music.
All rise.
To Lee Sales. 7:30 tonight, ABC.
Thanks, guys.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Now, I got onto this 7 months ago. There was actually last year. Yep. Do you remember the Brady Bunch
house?
Feels
like longer.
The house they filmed the Brady Bunch in, which is
it's iconic. It's
11222 Dilling Street in California,
have
right?
You been there?
Have you driven past it?
I haven't. Do you know it is the second most photographed house beside the White House?
Really?
In the USA.
So where is it? It's the exterior of that.
It's in Studio City, It's just the exterior. Now, it was up for sale. Remember Lance Bass had the winning bid?
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
And
did he get it?
No. He was outbid at the last minute and he was furious about it. by a network in the US called HGTV, which is a renovating network.
Right.
They paid way above the odds for it because they had an idea. They had plans. Yeah. Right. What their plans were very ambitious.
Far away.
They wanted, because the house was just the exterior, the whole Brady Bunch house we remember and love. Greg's gone groovy and moved into the den. He's got his attic, the kitchen, the living room.
Sure.
They were sets at Paramount Studios. So the house never matches the outside.
Spoiler alert.
Well, it is a spoiler alert.
It's 50 years late. Spoiler alert.
So what the plan was, are you with me? The plan was...
What was the plan, Jess?
We buy the house and we fit it out exactly as it should be.
Oh,
we renovate it and we put all the tushkas, all the knickknacks, the beds, the furniture, the kitchen is an exact replica of the Brady Bunch house. This is just aired tonight.
And why
now,
are they doing this?
Okay. Andrew Mercado from TV Tonight and I have been champions of this. It's not been shown in Australia. We want it to be shown in Australia. It's for entertainment value.
But what are they showing? The renovation.
The renovation. They will show over four episodes.
So it's a renovation show.
And they've got all the Brady kids.
Are they making it?
Yes.
So they renovate it.
They renovate
it. So they have to put it back together again.
Yes, they renovate it.
Do they tell stories and stuff while they do it?
They do. Here's a bit of a trailer. It's a bit of an e-news sort of trailer
for
you.
Who's still alive?
All the kids are alive. Alice, Carol and Mike are dead. But let's have a listen.
Okay.
Here's the story of a lovely lady.
The Brady Bunch is back. It's been 50 years since Greg, Marcia, Peter, Jan, Bobby, and Cindy made their way into our hearts and homes.
The Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch.
All six reuniting for the first time in decades. HGTV bought the house for $3.5 million in 2018 for a transformation.
One, two, three.
That is nothing short of priceless.
I'm very handy, okay?
Working alongside HGTV's Jasmine Roth and Barry Williams, we were in charge of Greg's groovy attic.
I can't even find you up here. I'm in big, big trouble.
And Eve Plum.
Hi, Alice.
Who played Jan Brady, helped me recreate Alice's bedroom. Why was it important for us to get Alice's room right?
Alice was sort of a selfless character in the show. You know, we saw some of her life, but it's really nice to think that we could pamper Alice a little bit.
When the producers chose this house to become the Bradys back in 1969, it was only for its exterior. Now, after this massive renovation, the interiors are an exact match to the Brady Bunch sets.
Are you with me? So this is what the story is. They turn up. And they are going to rebuild exactly the Brady Bunch house.
Can I tell you, I've already got a flaw in this.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, they're talking about Alice's room.
Yes.
Now, I've told you this before, but a guy I know who is an architecture student at Melbourne Uni did the floor plan of the Brady Bunch house and proved how there technically could be no room for Alice.
And you're
she
correct.
Was technically walking in to a pantry.
That's right. And you're correct.
So, every time Alice came out of her room, there was no way it could have possibly happened.
That's not the only anomaly they found.
Oh. What else?
They found that the staircase... Well, if you looked at the exterior of the house, it makes no sense that it's a two-story house. It just couldn't fit.
Right.
And the interior of the house on the set does not fit into this house. So over 7 months...
Here's one. Do you think we should let it go?
I'm not letting this go. I'm calling out. I've got another bit I want to show. Who remembers the episode?
Can I just say this? Is there a Joseph Fritzl-style dungeon?
No, there's not. There's not. Don't be silly about this. This is very dear to my heart.
What was Sam the Butcher? That's all I want to know.
Well, he and Alice can have the room now.
What about the car? Has it got the car there?
The car, everything. The horse at the bottom of the staircase. The teeter totter's there.
Oh, good.
The football that smashed in Marcia's face.
Didn't someone have to move into the garage?
The attic.
No, didn't someone have to move into a garage?
You mean the garage where Jan drove into the picture?
That's what I'm thinking.
And they had to be the silver platters.
Don't cross her on this.
Wow.
I tell you what.
Who did you want to be, Marcia?
What a stupid question. Of course, Marcia. Here's Marcia, though. What they did was a lot of people at they watched the show in 1969, a lot of people got their houses decorated
like
based
that.
On the Brady Bunch house.
See.
They've now come out of the woodwork and said, you need to have this part that we got from our house. Would you like to borrow it or buy it
for
your house?
So they're not even getting it, rebuilding it. They're just borrowing bits off other people.
No, they're finding real things, the fridge, everything.
Can
what do you remember best?
Give us a call, 133353. We'll come back. We'll take your calls.
Are you with
involved.
Me?
You've got some more to play.
Yeah, I want this on Australian TV.
You need to calm the phone. Well, why don't we have it?
I don't know.
All right, settle down.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane's having a meltdown about the fact that Australia's not getting, what is it? Is it World? Is it on tonight?
So far, and this is according to TV Tonight, there are no plans for any Australian network to show a very Brady renovation. It went to air tonight in the US. And E Entertainment call it genius, the show.
So it's got good
Are movies. We missing out?
Like, yes, we're missing out.
Yeah.
And I just want.
Is it bigger than Game of Thrones?
It could be. I'm saying it's. Could be show of the year.
It's still in syndication, the Brady Bunch, though, isn't it? It'd be showing around.
Do you know what I'd like to see them reassemble? The A-Team's van.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Why are you talking about the A-Team? I'm talking about the Brady
because
Bunch.
Because I'm just saying.
Don't go off subject.
Murdoch.
I would like to talk to all you callers because I've got real Brady Bunch fans here. Susan, how are you?
I'm well. Yeah. I can't believe you want to talk about the A-Team.
Neither do I. Yeah. Let's stick to the subject matter.
Still living in the past, are you?
Susan, what do you want to, when you think about the house, what's something you think of that's iconic in the Brady house?
Well, so many things. I'm so with you. Let's crowdfund so that we can get it, like, shown.
Yeah, crowdfund it. Mick fund it.
Yeah, Mick fund it.
Afraid not.
One of my favourite episodes is... Mum always said, don't play ball in the house.
Mum always said, don't play ball in the house. That's right. I've got a little clip.
Right.
This is Marsha who goes on a treasure hunt to see if they can find that vase it actually was.
Right.
First, she's looking at the fabric for the couches.
Hang on, is this in real life or is this in real life? TV show?
In real life, she has to look for it. She first looks at the fabric for the couches.
It's like Inception.
For the chairs
I can't follow
that Mike and Carol sit on, and she disagrees with the colour of the fabric.
Is she tracking down the real lamp?
Yes.
All right.
And it's a vase. She tracks it down. Oh, listen to this.
Here it is.
How do you rate these usable?
Not right at all. The fabric has some more green in it.
Yeah.
And they were higher back.
Here is the curio cabinet that was on the entryway into the
kitchen. From the dining room into the kitchen.
Correct.
Yeah. I remember more rounded edges. The original is simpler.
Yeah.
I really think we need to keep looking.
Let me look at this. Could this be what I think it is?
The vase.
Yes. I remember they had something inside and it was wired up.
Well, this has a hole for a wire.
Right, so that the water would start pouring
out. So that it looked like it was leaking.
Yes.
So they found the vase on the set of Paramount Studios with the hole in it that was leaking on the table. Susan, you'll be pleased to hear that.
And this is important because...
Because Mum always said, don't play ball in the house.
What about the volcano? What about the volcano?
Don't worry. They might find that. Susan, can I just go back to Susan? Would you watch the show?
I'll tell you where they'll find it. Where they found the vase in the props department out the back and then had to send it to a store.
Don't ruin my dreams.
Are
Susan,
we really caring about
would you
this?
Watch this if it was on?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Scotty Cam in it? Is he
Let's get Scotty Cam on board. He might do it. We better go to a few calls. Ali.
Yes, Jane.
Tell me about your memories of the house.
100% with you. My favourite show. I dreamt that I used to think that they might adopt me. My favourite room.
It's too many. You wouldn't have fitted in the opening credits. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
Squeeze in next to Alice.
Yeah,
it's going to bump Alice.
I'm only tiny. I would have fit in.
Yes.
The den.
Yeah.
Den. When I was a kid, I was at primary school and I had to draw a plan of a house and I called it a den. And the teacher said, what's a den? And I looked at her as if to say, are you an idiot? Do you not watch the Brady Bunch? It's a den.
That's right.
That was Mike's office, wasn't
that
it?
That was, no. Yeah,
den?
That's right. And we had.
Do you have a lava lamp in there?
Yes. No, probably. Greg put the lava lamp in when Greg went groovy.
All right, settled there.
We also, Ellie, had shag pile carpet, and we had a room that was probably a study, but we also called it the den.
Okay.
Were you a Brady Bunch man, Dame?
It was on. I wasn't obsessed with it.
You're a Bewitched.
Oh, I loved it. Samantha.
Dream of Jiminy for me. Oh, I was a real...
Well, you're both creepy because you wanted to...
Those hot
both
pants.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ellie. Like
Latin
she
pants.
Could switch her nose as
Phil,
well.
Phil, who was your favourite character in the Brady Bunch, Phil?
Hi, Jane. Hi, Mick. Peter was my favourite.
Oh, look, there's many reasons why.
Oh, Peter was
pork chops and applesauce.
When he rescued that girl, the family bought him and he bought out the whole toy store.
Yep. And no one came to his party because he was showing off.
You know you guys could have this conversation in private, don't you? Yeah. You could just ring each other.
Great podcast.
Thank you, Phil. Peter was the best because he was the most tragic. We better finish off.
Could we?
I know we've done that. We've done the den, haven't
done
we?
Okay,
What about, whatever happened to the dad?
Oh, yeah.
He was. Do you know the dad
was
a proper screen actor who hated the Brady Bunch.
He did the pilot and he said, I'll do the pilot, but I'm not doing any more
Robert
episodes.
Reed.
Robert Reed. And he gelled with the family. So we have one more. There's a question that will be answered if you watch this renovation series. Michelle, what's your question?
Well, they had this very big house and a very tiny bathroom for six children.
Yes.
No toilet.
Well, yes, and that is addressed in this television series. Right. Apparently it was illegal to show a toilet on television in that era.
There's no way one of those boys would have got 20 minutes in that bathroom.
That's true.
In the morning, girls. I guarantee you.
Thank you, everybody.
Girls,
are you with
up.
Me, Australia?
Okay,
well,
how can people
happen?
Help you in your quest to get this on?
All right.
What can they do?
Okay, what will I do about it? Well, you can
lobby someone.
I think we should lobby Channel 10 because they were the last network to have it showing, and I will write to Channel 10 and say. Yeah.
I'm sure you'd have more luck if you wanted MASH back.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'd
right.
be ready to go with it.
You may scoff.
Another run of MASH.
You may scoff.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to Makita and their cordless power garden range, where you can find your authorised dealer, makita.com.au.
Cordless Dave.
Yes.
You are
cords.
The king of the world, the master of your domain. You can go wherever you want with the Makita. No one can stop you because you're cordless.
That's right. It's got the batteries in it. That's
you
right.
have the keys to the world
Off
in
you
your hands when you're in charge of the Makita.
Oh.
I love the Makita.
The battery charges fast too, by the way.
Oh, how fast?
Really
fast.
Super fast.
World's best practice.
Also, you don't have to
You know what that is? That's the Japanese and German know-how.
Yeah.
That, they're the best in the business.
Well, they're experience. Very clever.
Right, they are unbelievable. Yeah. German technology. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Get to the back of the queue, everyone else.
Yeah.
This is as good as it gets.
And a turbo blower is something on a weekend that I can't wait to start up about 7 a.m.
So you know what I do?
Yeah?
I just hang around waiting for leaves to fall from a tree.
Yeah.
Oh, come to Papa.
Yeah.
I wait for them to fall off the tree and then I pounce.
I'm overdue.
With my leaf blower. How much fun is that?
I really am overdue.
I clean up my boys' room with the leaf blower.
Yeah, so how you do it?
Okay, boys, we can do this easy highway.
Legs up. Yep, off you go.
Legs up.
It's got a three-stage telescopic nozzle, that blower.
Oh, what's the telescopic nozzle
So if you sort of, got something a bit higher up that you want to get leaves off or whatever, or just extend it.
Periscope up.
Yeah.
And off you go. Job
that
done.
That is fascinating.
You know why? Because they're three steps ahead of everyone else down
at
Makita.
Well, they could use that on the moon,
couldn't
they?
Put it to you this way. Oh, Makita. Makita would saw the moon in half.
Yeah.
Chop it up in little bits.
Too easy.
And you'd be sawdust. By the time the Makita range got through, did you know this? And look, it says we'll allow ordinary citizens to use it, but I prefer it in the hands of tradies because this is the big deal.
Oh, yeah.
This is the real deal. Yes, we'll allow you to use these.
You can
items.
If you think you're up to it.
That's true.
Are you man enough? Are you tough enough?
And
you got what it takes.
If you want to be a bit, up yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You go the Makita.
Not you, Scotty Cam. Put your tools down.
No, I'm giving it to
Scotty. Well done, Makita.
Yes.
Love your work. You're a game changer. Best in the business. Keep them coming.
Makita.com.au to find your authorised dealer.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We are done and dusted for another day. Kitty Flanagan on the show tomorrow.
Oh, that's good news.
You'll be going home to watch old episodes of The Brady Bunch.
Mm.
I am going to watch season 5, episode 4, Game of Thrones.
Don't do it.
Because last night...
Oh, my God, I thought you'd forgotten about this.
Spoiler alert,
oh no.
I watched episode 3 of season 5, and wow, what an episode. Marguerite got married and consummated the wedding that night. Had a crack at Cersei about her age.
won't go down well.
Guess what? The High Septon was caught in a brothel. Can't believe it. There's so much action that takes place in the brothel.
You like
If I could be transported back in time...
That's where you want
Game
to
Game of Thrones time. Everyone's down the
brothel. I don't like the hygiene in those days.
Littlefinger. Speaking of
what
hygiene,
have I said?
Has agreed to have Sansa wed to Ramsay.
Oh, Ramsay Bolton.
He cuts off everyone's dicks.
He's terrible.
So he's pretty good. Jon Snow, your boyfriend, has beheaded one of his men. Because
he refused
an offer.
To do what you have to do.
And Tyrion, the dwarf, the little fella, convinces Varys to let him out of the carriage and walk the streets. Guess where he goes?
Straight to a brothel.
Straight to the brothel.
Wow.
I love that little guy.
How did I know that he's special?
It's all happening. How
is
it, good
was
is
he
it?
Drunk too? Because that's his usual.
Because you know what it's about, don't you?
What's that?
Well, there's just seven kingdoms.
No!
And it's all about one throne.
Sadly, we're out of time.
You've got to get
we are out of time.
Throne.
We'll see you tomorrow, Australia.
Jon Snow, he won't get there.
Kitty Flanagan to join us tomorrow. You missed today's show with Lee Sales, Heidi Arena, Nicola Parry. Grab the podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up, powered by Makita's cordless power garden range. More power and less noise with one battery across Makita's range of over 200 tools.